Last week we discussed the call to Abraham, and we looked at Father Abraham and the promise of a son, Isaac. This week we are looking at the call to Abraham and the call to his family for obedience. Abraham lived a life that included a lot of conflict. And a lot of that conflict emanated from his own disobedience to God's word. The conflict, as many of us know, continues. We know that Ishmael and Isaac both became great nations. Isaac bore Jacob and Esau, and Jacob became Israel. Ishmael became what we know as the Arab peoples. And Ishmael and Isaac continue to war throughout the world. Some would say this is the origin of the Middle Eastern crisis. And we all love what we refer to in today's world as root causes. Root causes are another way of saying he started it. Okay? I mean, if you think about it from a family perspective, when you're talking about a root cause, you say, this is what started the conflict, and it's not my fault because it predates my action. So, the root causes of the modern Middle Eastern crisis are 1972 or 1967, 1948 or previous. You can say it's Rome's fault from salting Jerusalem in AD 70. You can say it was Ishmael and Isaac's fault for the fallout that happened here. And if you want, you can blame their moms, Hagar and Sarah, for not getting along. But in the end, all of our conflict comes from disobedience. Disobedience to God and a lack of love for our brothers and sisters. When we are disobedient to God and we fail to love those around us, we have difficulty in relationships, difficulty in expressing what God wants for ourselves and for the other. Father Abraham did indeed have many sons. Two of them we're talking about today, Isaac and Ishmael. I want to reframe the story for you and remind you what we're talking about. Abraham was promised to have a son, and that his progeny, his children, would fill the earth. They would be more than the sands of the sea. He was going to have children like you would never believe. Wealth, prosperity, honor, and glory would be his. And Abraham believed the promise of God. And he left his hometown to find and to make a great nation. And he waited. And he had no son. One day, his wife Sarah went to her husband Abraham and said, look it, if we don't have a kid, the heir of our fortune is going to be your servant, a slave. We can't have that. So let's do it this way. I have a handmaiden. She's young and she can have children. Why don't you take some time with her and have an heir? So Abraham did. He slept with a woman and Ishmael was born. Ishmael became Abraham's heir and his son. But years later, God appeared once again to Abraham and reminded him and reaffirmed the promise. We spoke about this last week. The promise that Abraham and Sarah would have a son. That the son wasn't just Abraham's son, but it was their son together. And Sarah laughed. Now we are transported several years into the future. Abraham and Sarah have indeed had a son. And they called that son Isaac, which means laughter. And now conflict has erupted. Because there are two heirs to the family fortune and to what we know as the birthright or the blessing. What happens when conflict erupts? Well, most of the time when conflict erupts, we try to face it head on. We face it with resistance. This is the Sarah way of doing things. Conflict is blown up and Sarah says, you got to get rid of that woman. That woman's a great way of recognizing someone who scorned, right? That woman and her son. You see, you don't use names when you want to objectify a person and get rid of them. This is where Sarah's at. She's angry. And she's filled with conflict because her son and this other woman's son are vying for the same throne, the same position, the same blessing from God. God, however, doesn't seek God's people to muscle through. Most of the time, God recognizes that these conflicts are really centered on self. They're centered on sin. And when an enemy attacks, God's way is to use the momentum of the enemy against the enemy. God's good at Aikido and jiu-jitsu. God wants to take the force and the momentum and turn it against the enemy. And the enemy's force and momentum is always to make the story about me. Now, let me get this straight. It's not really about me. It's about you. And when you are me, then you understand what I'm talking about. Because it's always about us, right? It's always about who we see when we look in the mirror. That's who's going to be blessed. And that's who we want God to bless. Not others. Not the world. Us. And oftentimes, in our seeking for God's favor, we forget that there's other people involved. And that gets the church and the world and the people of God in trouble when all we think about is ourselves. When the world is about what happens to me, then we become self-centered and we don't understand what God is seeking to do through us. This is the circumstance that Abraham is facing when he's dealing with a conflict between the two women and the two sons. Now, when we look at this story beginning, it's party time. And this is a weird thing. We don't often see this. You see, the story begins with a party being held. It's a feast, a great feast because Isaac has been weaned. Did you read that? Did you hear that read? Isaac has been weaned, and so they're throwing a great feast. Now, commentators aren't sure when weaning would take place. In some cultures, weaning was something that happened when you were a teenager. Doesn't seem to fit this story. In other cultures, it's between 3 and 5 years old. But it's when, let me get this clear, it's when the parents know that the baby's going to live. When in these days, in the old days, you weren't sure what was going to happen to a child as they, when they were born. If they lived past a certain age, then you felt safe. And the weaning ceremony for Isaac was also the time when Ishmael knew that his brother would survive. And hear this. And he would receive the birthright. You see, Ishmael had a problem with this day. It's one thing to be big enough to allow your little brother to have a birthday party. It's another thing when that birthday party means all of the presents that you had in last year's birthday party now get transferred over to your brother. And this is what was happening to Ishmael. He was losing something personally. He was losing the blessing. He was no longer the heir because Isaac lived. He was going to grow up to be a young man, and now Ishmael had to come to the realization that he would not receive the blessing from his father. This is like getting an announcement in the mail, officially usurping your position. And inviting you to a party for the person who's going to take your place. Think about that. You're cordially invited to the party, to the celebration of the next pastor of First Baptist Church. I get this in the mail. And I go, but I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church. What are they trying to tell me, right? Ishmael has been usurped. And he's mad. He's angry. You see, it used to be all about him. But now it's about Isaac. And so Ishmael mocks Isaac. He undercuts him. He persecutes him. The word for mock also can mean persecute. He starts to attack his younger brother because he doesn't like what's happening to him. You know, this is what bullying is, isn't it? We always say that bullies don't like themselves, and so they attack other people, right? Well, this is where Ishmael is. He doesn't like what's happening to him, and so he's going to go after the source of his problem, Isaac. Now, this may have gotten beyond just simply mocking, but it may have gotten to the point of danger for Isaac. I think we have to recognize that Sarah reacts kind of like a mama bear, okay? And she gets really angry with Ishmael. I mean, her kid is being threatened, right? And she's not going to allow this to stand. And when she sees Isaac threatened, mocked, and if he's a 3 to 5 year old, this is kind of an off-limits type of thing, right? And she says, I don't want that kid anywhere around my kid. And I don't want that woman anywhere around me. Get rid of him. Now, up until this point, Abraham had a problem. And Abraham's problem throughout his ministry and throughout his life was that whenever a crisis erupted, Abraham took things into his own hands. Abraham was quick to act and slow to ask. But Abraham seems to have been humbled since the last time we saw Abraham. And Abraham now does not simply listen to his wife or address the conflict. He prays. He goes to God. Now, this might be one of the first times that this was the go-to position for Abraham. He's showing maturity in judgment. He goes to God with his crisis. And God says to him, don't be distressed about the boy and about your maidservant. Don't be anxious about what's going on here because I'm with you. You see, when we're in the midst of a crisis, we hear usually the voice of the devil in our heart. We hear the worry, the obsession, the discouragement, the fear. And we want to desperately solve a problem. And so we act quickly and oftentimes rashly. When we take it to God, God comforts us. And God allows us to see a perspective that we can't see without God's blessing. Abraham has to hear from God that his son is going to be taken care of. For the first time since Abraham left, he is filled with the understanding that everything's going to be all right. And in the same way he left his home, he left his family to go where God was sending him, he now sends Hagar and his son Ishmael on a journey that only God can take them. Oftentimes in this story, we get hung up in the issues that we add to it. And I'll be honest, as I was preparing to preach this sermon, all I could think of is how can I find God's love in this story? How can I find the love of God in Jesus Christ in this story of Isaac and Ishmael? Because it seems to be absent from the story. How could a father say goodbye to a son this way? And then I realized that this story has nothing to do with Isaac. It has nothing to do with Ishmael. And until we figure out that this story has nothing to do with Isaac and Ishmael, we're going to be in trouble. Let me go back a little bit and tell you who this story is about. You see, Isaac was the was the heir to the birthright. But when you think of the birthright, and I think of the birthright as something very different to what God intended the birthright to be. You see, God told Abraham that through him the whole world would be blessed, the entirety of the world, including Ishmael, including the Arab peoples, including everyone that's born. But in order for God to bless the world, God was going to have to send an heir, not just of Abraham, but an heir from heaven. The blessing that Isaac carried was not good time rock and roll and the big house on the hill. This was not the joys of wealth and privilege and authority. What Isaac was given was the responsibility to bring salvation and love into the world. You see, on the day that Ishmael mocked Isaac, God knew that there was going to be a day where this mocking would take place again. And the next time that the mocking would take place to an heir of Isaac, it would be Jesus being mocked. Jesus, who carried the birthright from heaven and earth, who was the king of the Jews and the king from heaven, was going to be persecuted. A crown of thorns would be placed on his head, and he'd be crucified by the powers of this world. You see, his disciples thought that his birthright meant that he would rule. His disciples thought that everything about Jesus was going to be lifted high and glorified. Little did they know that the birthright from God was to serve and to suffer and to sacrifice. When God called Abraham out, he called him to go into the world and love the world like God loved it. He said, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob who would become Israel, through Judah, Jacob's son, through David the king. Jesus was born. And in Jesus, the entire earth is blessed by God. But Jesus wasn't blessed by being crowned king in Jerusalem. Jesus blessed the earth by pouring out his blood for us. Jesus blessed the earth by taking the force of the devil and using a jiu-jitsu move that threw that force in a way that no one on this planet could have imagined. He loved the enemy. He suffered and died for us. And he did it because he knew that his pursuit was not for him, but obedience to the Father and love for the people of God. I love this quote from Oswald Chambers. He says, I have to learn that the aim in life is God's, not mine. God is using me from his great personal standpoint, and all he asks of me is that I trust him and never say, Lord, this gives me such heartache. He simply asked me to have implicit faith in himself and in his goodness. As I was reading this passage, I continued to question God's goodness. And then I realized, how dare you? Do you really think you are good? That's the crisis. The crisis that oftentimes we believe ourselves to be better than God. We think our plan is superior to God's. Our way is better than God's way. Now, there's another way of recognizing this. That's called disobedience, isn't it? Disobedience is when we think someone who has authority over us doesn't have the authority to give it to us, to tell us what to do. And so we deny it. We ignore it. We rebel against it. We say, I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you, Dad. And if you grow old enough, you'll hear that. As you get older, you're the one that says it. And some days, you'll be the one that it's said to. God's love is so deep and so great that God loves us in our disobedience. As we said last week, and I'm going to reiterate it today, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while Ishmael had no idea what God was doing, God was preparing him to become a great nation. And God was preparing him to be the first recipients of the gospel outside of Judaism. When the church left Israel, where did it go? Do you realize that today the oldest Christian church in the world, the oldest denomination, they didn't know them as denominations at that point, is the Coptic Church in Egypt. Who are Ishmael's people, folks? They're the Egyptians. The gospel of Jesus Christ went to Egypt. It went to Syria. It went to Lebanon. It went throughout the Middle East, and it took over. Those people who were Ishmael became adopted sons of the Father. And in the same way, Ishmael can be claimed for Jesus today. But it has to be only if the people of God will see God's will and not ours. Ishmael and Isaac, Abraham, they all had to understand what John the Baptist would tell his disciples almost 1,000 years later. When Jesus was rising in power and John was receding, preparing for death, he told his disciples, Jesus must become greater and I must become less. And folks, that's exactly the same thing that we have to learn to say today. He must rise and we must become smaller. If the world only sees the church and its pastors and its people, then we've made a grave error. If the church responds with hatred, with hatred, if it responds to force, with force, then we ignore the call of God to love our brothers and sisters. Instead, we need to take on the full power of the Holy Spirit and lower ourselves so that Christ could be glorified. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Isaac was given the birthright. It wasn't an all-out party, and it didn't include only good things. It included struggle and stress. It included sacrifice and conflict. And the conflict remains in the world today, doesn't it? We must be like Jesus our Lord, showing love, offering ourselves a sacrifice, and doing whatever we can to make and glorify the great name of Jesus Christ. God is calling us to put an end to the conflict, not because of our great authority and force, but because love truly does conquer all. You see, love's in this too. And God so loved Ishmael that he provided for Ishmael with angels and guidance and wells and water far beyond what his father Abraham could do, because God's just like that. Because God loves us, God loves those who we pray for, those who we reach out to, in the same way that God loved Ishmael because of Isaac. Jesus told his disciples something similar. He said, what's bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Pray for those people around you. Never cease loving and praying and reaching out, because God is in control. Let's pray. Lord God, you've called Isaac. You called Ishmael. You gave them different blessings, but you gave Isaac the birthright, because through Isaac came to the world Jesus Christ, the son not only of Abraham, not only of Jacob, but the son of God. Lord God, through Jesus, you've given to us the way and the truth and the life. Help us to follow you in all things. Help us to be like you through the power of your Holy Spirit and to glorify your holy name in all things. Help us here at First Baptist Church to be a church that will model our lives after your life and who will show love to all. Lord God, we ask that you would help us to humble ourselves. Oftentimes when we feel like we've been chosen, we feel it's been chosen to glorify our own name. Lord God, help us to know that when we are chosen, when we are called, it is to glorify your name and your name alone. Lord God, as the followers of Jesus Christ, we ask that you would help us to empty ourselves of ego and pride and fill us with your Spirit. Lord God, if there's anyone here who's yet to humble themselves before you, to bow at the cross and ask for your grace and mercy, Lord God, let this be the day. And Lord God, for those of us who've bowed our heads and our knees to you, Lord God, help us to be humble and loving so that the world might know that you are glorified through the love that we show one to another. Help us to show the world your love. Lord God, bless your church and glorify your name. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask it all. Amen.